So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, your grace to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the celebration we've had together this morning. We have sought to honor you in song and praise and worship you for your wonderful faithfulness and care and grace and mercy to us. So now, Lord, we pray that you might receive our praise. You alone are worthy of our praise. We present ourselves to you this morning. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we ask that you would forgive us of our sins so that we might come to you in holiness of person and our minds and our words. And so today, thank you for meeting us here in this wonderful place. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Romans chapter 5, if you have your Bible. Good to see all of you. Great to see you. And let me again remind you, you heard it on the announcement, but on behalf of the entire church staff and my wife, Pat, all of our church staff wives and husbands and all the rest of us, please come be with us. Valentine's will be right in here. And all this place will be cleared out, and it'll be a beautiful time together. We hope that you will make plans and come if your schedule allows you to do that. Well, I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, I'm honored that you're here. We're honored you're here. Please come by and say a word to me. I'll be out there in the hallway. I'd love to meet you if you're brand new and you haven't been here with us. Glad you're here at 9 o'clock for our 9 o'clock worship hour. So we've been talking about God's grace and our big mess. You know, we get in big messes, don't we? Do we get in them? We seem like we're either coming out of a mess or going in a mess or in a mess. Somewhere in one place or another. But the good news is God's grace helps us out of our mess and is greater than our mess. Aren't you glad to hear that this morning? So before we read Romans 5, I want you to think about something today. This is very important for you to hear. Some of you need to hear this. This will be all you really need to hear today in the sermon. Even though I don't want you to get up and leave, I want you to hear this and then stay with me. But listen to this for a minute. This is really important. I hope you'll hear me. Can you imagine the privilege that you and I have, those of us who are born again, those of us who know Jesus, that you and I live all the days that we have remaining in this world, all the rest of our days, those of us who are born again and know Jesus, we now live with God's permanent favor on our life. Is that not an amazing thing? God is for you. God's grace, that's what favor is. It's God's grace, is God's favor. God is for you. His favor is on you. His favor is for you. And that favor that God has doesn't go away, listen, based on what you do. God's favor remains with you throughout your life. Now, I don't know how much better it can get than that, do you? Isn't that good news? Well, let's read Romans chapter 5. We've been here several times as we've looked at God's grace, and we're back again in Romans chapter 5, and I'd like for you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word for our Bible reading today. We'll read Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, please notice this word have, it shows up several times today, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, here it is again, we have obtained our introduction, some of your Bibles may say access, by faith, into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt, or we rejoice, in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So now, Lord, here we are with our Bibles open, standing before you, hearing these amazing words. You have justified us. You have given us access to your grace. Help us to understand what it means to be favored ones. Help us to understand what it means to be grace-blessed people. Lord, we do not deserve your grace, but we thank you that now we can live under your grace. May these words truly today from Romans 5 help encourage someone here today who's discouraged and defeated and does not recognize how wonderful, how eternal, how permanent your grace is. May my words please Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Three simple things I want to talk about this morning related to God's grace and my mess from Romans 5. Our real focus this morning will be on verses 1 and 2. So you keep your Bible open there, and I'll also have it here on the screen, but I hope you brought your Bible and you can follow along. We'll be looking phrase by phrase today at these words. I don't want you to miss any of this from what Paul's trying to say to us about God's grace and how it relates to us in living above and beyond our sinful mess. Well, you know, when we think about grace, favor, approval, all the things that God gives to us, it's important for us to see, first of all, the permanence of God's grace. You see, sometimes we go through seasons with people, with friends and others, and we sense that we have favor with people. We have favor with a certain person, favor with certain relationships, but sometimes people change and those situations can change and we don't have them. But oh, when we talk about our relationship with God, when you come to know Jesus and you're born again, the good news is you have a permanent experience of God's grace now. You have a permanent experience of God's grace. So let's go back again to verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, having been justified by our faith, we've been justified by faith. By faith, we believed on Jesus. And as a result of believing on Jesus, by faith, God justifies me. I can't justify myself and get out of my mess. Now, I got it all over me. I'm a sinful person. I've got to have somebody who delivers me from my sinfulness. Well, when we come to know Jesus, we trust Jesus by faith. We believe on what the Bible says about Jesus dying in our place, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, ascending to heaven and coming back again. And we believe on Jesus and we confess Jesus as Lord. And as a result of believing on Jesus, the Bible says we're justified. God justifies me even though I have lived in sin by my faith. So then notice what I experience. I have peace with God. I want to say this to you because I'm your pastor. I love you. And I think about all the time we spend together. You know, we spend time together doing life and laboring here and sharing the gospel. But you know, one of the things you cannot miss in verse 1 is this amazing statement. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You have peace with God. Peace. The thing the world does not have. The turmoil, the struggle, the chaos, the hatred, the craziness, the wars and the rumors of wars and the destruction. We have peace. We have peace with God. But I want to tell you something. I was speaking with one of our dear people this week, having a hard time with some physical things. Doctor talking to this person about not having long to live. Well, you know, just because the doctor tells you you don't have a long time to live, may the preacher remind you we all have only so many days. Did you know that? Doctor may not tell you, but this may be your last day. This may be my last day. Are you ready to live? I ask you this all the time. Are you ready to live and are you ready to die? Well, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Guess what happens? Here's how you can be ready to die. Number one, have peace with God. Peace. No longer are you in rebellion against God. You are at peace with God and you're grateful for all He's done for you. Number two, you know what happens when we have peace with God? The peace of God comes and takes over your mind. And some of us, we just wish we could get one night of peaceful, sweet sleep. You can. The peace of mind that comes when you have the peace of God. And then, peace with other people as best you can. Sometimes relationships can't be fixed for whatever reason. But as much as you're possibly able to, being at peace with all people, like Paul said, as far as it goes with you, be at peace with all people. Now listen, folks. If you can be at peace with God and be at peace in your mind and be at peace with others, you're ready to live and you're ready to die. Peace. Peace. Having peace. It's the place we go in all the chaos. So by faith, we permanently experience God's grace and we have peace. But that's not all. This is what's amazing. We read here that we also have access. Look at verse 2. We have peace with God through Jesus, but also in verse 2, Paul picks it up. Through whom? See, there's that phrase again. See that word through? It shows up in verse 1 and it shows up in verse 2. So we have peace with God through Jesus and a relationship with Him. And also through Jesus, we have something else. We have obtained our introduction, the New American Standard. That's what I read from says, but you may have a Bible that says we have obtained access. Look at this. We have obtained access by faith to grace. That is an amazing thing. Now, a lot of us wish we had access to certain things. You know, the friend of mine has access to a particular very important person in the government, and when he needs to see this person, and he's in Washington, D.C., he has access. He's able to go and see these particular people. Not everybody has access. Access can be limited. The door can be shut. Maybe I'll use another phrase here. Here's the idea. When you're justified by faith and you have peace with God and you're justified and you're one of God's children, the permanent grace of God, how about this, opens the door of grace. You are now open to grace. You have open access for the rest of your living days on this earth to the grace of God. I can't tell you any better news than that, folks. I cannot tell you any better news than that. Because you see, God's grace forgives me. God's grace empowers me. We read last week in Romans chapter 6, verse number 14, sin shall no longer be your boss, master over you. Listen, because you are not under law, you're under grace. God's grace empowers us. God's grace sends forgiveness. God's grace justifies us. So, I greet you today. May grace and peace be with you. Grace and peace, they are always together in God's Word. God's grace brings peace. Peace with God, peace in my mind, and peace with other people. And the permanent grace of God now has been given to you. It's permanent. Nothing you and I can do. We cannot out-sin God's grace. Are you hearing me, church? You cannot out-sin the grace of God. His grace is greater than our sin. Where sin goes up, grace gets bigger. We are under grace. And the grace of God is permanently with those of us who know Jesus. You have had the grace door opened up to you. Man alive, if I keep talking, I'm going to probably start preaching here in just a minute. The second thing I want you to see is this. By faith, we permanently experience God's grace, but also in this verse, notice the second phrase. By faith, we persistently, all my words are important this morning. Look, I've spent a lot of time trying to give you these phrases because I want you to hear me. I'm trying to take out of these verses something that will help you understand the absolute incredible nature of God's grace. Look, God's grace is indescribable. Who am I to stand here and try to explain it to you? I'm doing the best I can. You see, God's grace is, first of all, permanent. It's your permanent experience now because you know Jesus. But secondly, by faith in Jesus Christ and being justified by faith, this phrase is very important. We persistently endure by God's grace. Now, read here again. Verse 2, through whom we have obtained our access by faith into this grace. And here's the way it could read for us. And in this grace we stand. Oh, that's a good word. Stand. It doesn't say, and in this grace we fall down. It doesn't say, and in this grace we slip. It doesn't say, and in this grace we slide down. No, you stand. Look here, I'm demonstrating. You stand. You stand. You don't back up. In this grace, we back up. No. In this grace, we stand. Can somebody help me? Amen. We stand. That means you stand where you are when trouble comes. So I have the grace of God in a world filled with trouble. Yes, you do. Oh, Brother Mike, it's the hand ringing, you know. Oh, Brother Mike. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, it's so horrible. Oh, I watched the news for 5 hours straight. There's your problem. 10 minutes is all you need once a day. Turn it off and pick up your Bible. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you. One of our dear ladies the other day, I was talking to her, and she thought the Russians were invading America. What in the world? Turn the TV off. Talk to Jesus. About to get over on something. I never chase rabbits like that. We persist. Now look, this phrase is important. This word to stand, I wish I could describe this. If we read this in the original language, the idea of the tense of this is that it's a perfect tense, which means it's permanent. You stand now, you stand tomorrow, you stand next week, you stand however many days you have, you stand, you stand, you stand. Because I have God's grace now permanently in my life, because I am now blessed by the grace of God, whatever troubles come, I stand. I stand. Standing. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. How many of us have ever sang that song? Standing. And you know how the choir guys do it. Steve loves it. And standing. You know how it goes forever. Standing. You stand up and you stand. You don't fall down. You don't whine about it. You stand up. You stand up. You stand up to the devil. That's what Paul said, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the armor of God and make your stand. There you go. A few of you are getting ready for it. 2 Corinthians 1:24, stand firm, listen, by your faith. Stand. Stand. We read in these words something profound in verse number 3. We rejoice in trouble. Now that's crazy. That's crazy talk. But when you have grace, and when you stand in God's grace, and you know that God's power is with you, even in your trouble, you stand your ground. We've got to have people who stand by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand up by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say it. There you go. Now you're all preaching. Standing means enduring. Listen, standing means enduring. By faith, we persistently endure. Oh, Pastor Mike, what am I going to do? You're going to stand up. That's what you're going to do. Oh, what am I going to do with the pain in my family? You're going to stand up. What are you going to do with the health problems you have? You're going to stand up. What am I going to do with these people who ridicule me for my faith in Jesus? You're going to stand up. Stand. We have access by grace and we stand. I got to go on. Third, by faith, here it is. This is my phrase, is very important. By faith, we hopefully rejoice by God's grace. By the way, did you notice every phrase? By faith, we permanently experience God's grace. By faith, we persistently endure by God's grace. And finally, and this is important, by faith, we hopefully rejoice. All right, back to verse 2. Through Jesus, we have obtained our access or introduction by faith to grace. And by faith, being introduced to grace, we now stand in grace. And verse 2, finish it. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All right, now, stay with me for just a moment. Now we talk about hopefully rejoicing. You know, today, everybody is all worked up about a ball game. Everybody is worked up about a ball game. I hope you're one of those people who say, what kind of ball game? That would be, you're my kind of people. What ball game? Is there a ball game today? Oh, and people are going to rejoice. Oh, they're going to rejoice. Or they're going to be so sad. Rejoicing or being so sad because of a ball game. That's short-term joy. Oh, you're going to be happy because, oh, finally that old boss you've been praying would leave is gone. Oh, you're so happy. Then you get a new boss and you wish that boss was going to be gone. Short-term joy. Oh, that must have hit the button. You guys got some mean bosses, huh? Short-term joy. Oh, you just are so, you're so happy that, you know, your children are able to go to school and they're going to school now, and it, you finally come to that age and it's all coming together for you, and yet now, you know, you realize their teachers are not the kind of teachers, and your joy just goes down. Or your children disappoint you. Or I can go on. Short-term joy. Ah. But when you live and experience and live in the grace of God, listen to me, I'm trying to help you. By faith, you trust the Lord and you stand in the grace of God because He will help you, He will empower you, He will protect you, He will guide you, even in your trouble, you rejoice. We exalt, notice now, we rejoice in hope. That's why I combine these two words. We are God's people. Look, God's people, no matter what our circumstance, we are people who hopefully rejoice, listen, in God's glory. Now, I want you to catch that. Did you read that here in your Bible? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh, quickly, let me go back. Romans 3:23. It's a verse we teach around here in Disciple Life all the time. All have sinned and fall short of what? Say it with me. When you're in sin, you don't glorify God. Glorifying God starts when you're born again. And all of a sudden on the inside, you start changing. You start having new desires. You start coming back to life. You start praying. You start walking away from these sinful things and habits in your mind. You come to life. The glory of God comes back into your life. And then you have hope because the glory of God starts in me and is completed in Jesus' return. Think about this, folks. This is so good. We hope in God's glory. We hope in God's glory. So we read that we're restored in our relationship to God, as I've said. So all of a sudden now, the glory of God starts to come back to life in me. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, we're looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our Lord and Savior, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The glory of Jesus coming. We hope for the glory to come. You see, I'm not going to sit around and pray that somehow some set of government leaders will solve the war problems of the world. I'm going to pray, come Lord Jesus, He will solve the problem. So my hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness and Jesus' coming. I hopefully rejoice. Oh, it's bad, Brian. That's bad. Yeah. Yeah, there have been periods in the life of the church when Christians were crucified up and down the roads of Rome and beheaded for their faith and still are to this day all around the world. You say the name of Jesus in some places, you're a dead person. But we are those who are the recipients of permanent grace, and we make our stand by faith, and we hopefully rejoice in the hope of the glory of God coming in Jesus. And finally, one day when Jesus comes, all of our dear saints who've gone to be with Jesus, their bodies will be put back together miraculously, and they will be glorified bodies all together, going to a new place, a new heaven, a new earth. We are hopefully rejoicing because of the glory of God. Now, folks, there's nothing you're going to get in this world from anybody that's going to beat that. It's the grace of God that leads to hope in the glory of God. Did you hear me? The grace of God leads to hope in the glory of God. So as we finish today, think about these two phrases. I and you and I, both, all of us. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave this building, what news I'm going to get, neither do you. Always going to be a surprise. It's going to come every day. Remember what I said when we started? Listen. Peace with God leads to peace with your mind, peace of mind. And peace of mind leads to peaceful relationships with others. You got to be ready to live. Live in peace with God. Live in peace within yourself. Live in peace with other people. Be ready to live. And if the Lord takes you today and you have peace with God, peace in your mind and peace with others, you are ready. You are ready to go be with the Lord. You must remember that. You're under grace for as long as you live. That is the experience. Stand up. Stand where you are and be persistent. Quit whining and complaining. Stand up by faith in your trouble and say, these troubles are actually going to make me more like Jesus and give me more hope. I got to have trouble to be more like Jesus. And then, because of the grace of God, it just keeps pushing me toward hopefulness in the glory of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to open the word of God and to hear your word. So today, Lord, we think about these words. We think about what we've talked about together, the importance of experiencing your grace. And Lord, I pray for some who might be here. They're listening to me very curiously. But in their life, they'd have to say, I don't have peace in my life. I don't have peace in my mind. I don't have peace in my relationships. I'm in a mess. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All you must do to begin your walk with God, to change that direction in your life, is be willing to confess Jesus. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So maybe today that's what you must do. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to join this great church. You need to come and say, look, it's time for me to unite with this church and put my time, my abilities, my tithes, my talents here for the sake of God's work in this place. You've been coming for a while. This is the place you need to be. God's spoken to you about it. Well, we want you to come. Come take me by the hand, one of our men by the hand. Say, look, I need to come. If there's something else in your life while you're seated there, you don't need to come forward, but you need to pray to the Lord right now where you're at, and you need to call on His grace to forgive you, His grace to empower you, His grace to help you. Whatever the decision, we want you to make it today publicly or in your seat wherever you are. Well, let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing, Lord, I Need You.